Comes from silver spoon, golden rule, private school, never miss Sunday church. And I come from blue collar, low dollar, out here where concrete meets old red dirt. And I don't know what happened, but it sure don't matter.
Hello and welcome to Two Old Guys on the Back Porch. I am Steve Scotch, and we have the lovely and talented Kat, that's C-A-T, painting the town red. Kat, what's up?
Hey, how y'all doing? We can be found on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, and all your premier podcast platforms. We also can be found on Facebook, Instagram. Give us a follow. Our two towns that we are shouting out today are in the Upper Midwest. One is Adrian, Michigan. Adrian was an early auto manufacturer. Between 1900 and 1912, three major car models were manufactured there in Adrian. In addition to the Lion of the Murray Motor Car Company, the Lenawee Car Company, and the Church Manufacturing.
Where is that?
It's Adrian, Michigan. Three cars I don't think we have running today. Okay, our other town is St. Joseph, Minnesota. Originally was home of the Dakota people, Native Dakota people there. St. Joseph was named so by the early German and Slovenian settlers after the patron saint of their newly erected log chapel. Giving y'all a round of applause.
All right, alcohol is a constant here on the back porch. And sometimes you run into people who change your life for the better. And those people are called bartenders. And today I'm the bartender, and I made myself a tasty Manhattan with Bullet Bourbon, one of my favorite bourbons. Kat, what you got?
I'm drinking me the drink of the summer, the Hugo, with a little champagne and a little elderflower liqueur.
Ooh, sounds sweet like you, babe.
Thanks, doll.
All right, I don't know. Maybe we'll call this episode two. If you listen to last week's podcast, Kat did a very good job of explaining how sometimes your life can get turned upside down in a second, and you just got to roll with the punches and chain stuff up and do the best you can. My girl took a tumble and snapped her ankle. Her and the Brittany we have named Raleigh. Raleigh's not on a leash around here. He's on the run.
He's running the show.
And so they're back there taking a little stroll through the woods, come down this little knoll. My girl took a step in the orange mud and fractured her fibula, which is the bone that goes like from your knee to the outside of your ankle. Tore a couple ligaments that allowed her tibia, which is the kind of thicker bone that goes from the knee down to your ankle on the outside of your leg. That got disjointed, and the x-rays showed the cat's tibia, I don't know what, like an inch or so, it was out of place.
It was dislocated.
And
I look like a wreck.
And these x-rays they have, I say now, I'm sure it's been going on for years, but
we're old school.
I mean, even I, not a doctor and don't play one on TV, could look at it and go, wow, that doesn't look good. So the daughter took her car back there in the weeds, got my girl up, and got her to the dock in the box down the road. Bon Secours is the emergency place we got out here. Hadn't been open that long. 20 minutes from the house.
Right.
Hope we'd never need it, but we did. And Bon Secours, they teamed up with this outfit called Mercer, I believe. Is that who they are? They merged, or one bought the other. I don't know. They bought up a bunch of hospitals around Virginia, some other states. And like I said, we have these like they're not hospitals, they're not doctors, I don't know what to call them, but there's several locations around here. I think VCU Medical bought up a bunch of them around here. So Kat and the daughter smartly go to the Bon Secours emergency facility and try to get my girl fixed up. And they tried, there's bugs out here, sorry, got gnats in my face on the back porch. It's summertime still. Go away! So they tried to reset Kat's tibia, tried twice to push it back into place and put a split on it. Wrap it up, we're all good. Didn't happen. Still gnats. They give it another go. Still not happening. Now, this time they left the x-ray machine on. So they're watching what they're doing while they're trying to push the bone over. Because that tibia sits like right on top of your ankle bone. And Katz was not at this point. They couldn't do anything about it. So they said, you're going to have to go to a real hospital where we have, what did they say, ortho specialists?
Right.
They were going to reset Kat's ankle bone. So the ambulance finally shows up, and away we go. So Kat gets sent to the ER. She's in a room in the emergency part of the hospital. I'm in the family rig. I go park. They let me in the emergency room back there where she's at. I find Kat. She looks at me and says, they're going to do surgery tonight. And I'm like, what the fuck? I said, they told us they were going to try to reset your tibia again. And Kat goes, well, now I'm going under the knife on a Wednesday night. So as soon as surgery was announced, this is when the bullshit began. This dude comes in the room and announces himself as the PA.
Physician's assistant.
I go, what's a PA? He goes, physician's assistant, which is code for he doesn't do anything. So he comes in the room and he's blowing copious amounts of smoke up our ass about we need to do this. We got to do it now. We got to take care of this. We're going to have a plate. We're going to put two screws into your fibula. We've called Dr. Brown. He's the best surgeon on the East Coast. When he gets here, you know, we're going to get this thing done. Am I wrong?
He is the foot and ankle specialist for Ortho of Virginia, which is a big company and has places all over the state.
I heard how great he was over and over again. So whenever he finished his pickleball match, he finally fucking showed up, right? But the guy...
The whole time, he's getting sent x-rays of the situation from the emergency room.
On his phone.
So.
Right, when they called time out during the pickleball match. But this PA guy, come on, Kat. You heard, it was like a 30-minute speech. I don't know if he was like the warm-up band. Like he was there to kill time.
I felt like he was just telling us what to expect.
I heard a whole different story because I needed
to know some information.
Well, what I figured out real quick was this hospital was going for the bank account digits.
Oh,
that's their priority. Right from the beginning, I smelled a rat.
Were you going to take me in the back and set my ankle? No.
I got a ratchet strap. I'll get that bitch on there. I'll fix it. Cut that x-ray on. Watch what I can do. So the PA kept saying tonight. Do y'all have any questions? I go, yeah, when is tonight? Well, Dr. Brown should be here around 8:30. Okay, cool. So it's like 6 o'clock. Of course, Steve's worried about Steve. Kat's sitting there with a broken leg, and I'm like, I'm freaking hungry. So I go downstairs to the cafeteria of the hospital and take a look around and go, this is a no. All that they had the offering that night was a turkey gyro ravioli. in a hospital now. I just said turkey giant. That's what the sign said. I looked over through the foggy glass and went, hell no. Walked 4 blocks south, 1 block east to this restaurant. I'm not going to name it. It's called The Grill on Patterson Avenue, and it was freaking awesome. I come back. It's like, what, Kat, around 7?
Right.
So we're figuring we got another hour or two
now,
to wait.
This entire time, I'm not even allowed water at all.
I'm sorry.
And this cat's going down.
I was belching up my blackened chicken wrap. That was fucking great. So at 7, I was in that room, what, 2 minutes, and here comes this dude who barely spoke English and goes, are you ready? And I'm like, ready for what? Oh, we're going down. I said, hell yeah, let's go. Let's get this party started. So Kat gets put in this, I guess you call it surgery prep area?
It's recovery. It'll be the recovery room.
No, where they prepped you.
Right.
You call that the recovery room?
Yeah, because you usually go back there after
surgery. So anyway, we go in there, and I'm like, where do y'all want me to go? You want my cell phone number? Text me when it's done. We'll meet again. They're like, no, you're going with us. I'm like, okay, cool. So we go down to this surgery prep area. Kat gets a port put in. They ask my girl like 40 questions, right? Didn't they ask you the same thing over and over again? And then,
I just wanted to put, I walk my dog. That's how I got here on my chest. Because they were constantly, so exactly how this happened?
What leg is it? I don't know. The one that swole up half, twice the size of the other one. Make sure they don't. Remember they took a big marker and marked your leg to go, cut on this one. So then finally Elvis enters the room. Okay, Dr. Brown shows up, unshaven face, and now we're going to get this show on the road. So Kat's laying there, and they're like, oh, your other foot doesn't have a sock on it. You need a sock. And we're like, I'm looking down the row, and there's other people in there getting prepped for surgery. I don't see no socks on their feet. Run over and get a sock and put it on her unsocked foot. And then she goes, you don't have anything on your head. Well, we're not working on her head. We're working on her ankle. So she goes and gets it's like a shower cap.
Right.
I look down the road. Nobody else got a shower. We're getting all the accoutrements. Nobody's family members are in this room except for me. And I'm not, I don't know what's going on.
They could see you're a cool guy and they let you hang.
So then they go, do you want a nerve? What was that shot called? Oh, shit. I can't think of the name of it. They asked us if Kat wanted this shot during surgery.
It was a nerve block.
Nerve block. That's what they called it. Now, the sock was $17, the shower cap was $24, and now they wanted $1,200.
Well, they had to get my okay, whether or not the...
So we go, what does the nerve block do? Well, they go, you won't need any pain medication for 12 hours after surgery. So we look at each other and go, nah, we're going to block the block. No block for us. To me, when you prolong something... it's going to be twice as bad when it pops, right?
Right.
They said it lasts 12 hours. It obviously, kills your nerves, so you don't feel anything. When that thing starts wearing off, you're laying up there on the fifth floor, you're going to be screaming.
It's like an epidural for your leg.
It all smelled bad to me. All right, so Kat comes out of surgery, and it was like an hour or two. Wasn't bad. We end up on the fifth floor. And this is when things really went sideways. Now, this hospital that Kat was sent to, I'm not going to name it. It's called St. Mary's. We had both our children delivered at this place, right, Kat?
Right.
Many, many years ago. And we raved about this place, didn't we?
Yes.
I mean, this was...
At the second one, I basically lived there for almost a month because I was on bed rest. So, and the food, and you know,
the food wasn't bad. The
food
people
wasn't
were
bad.
Great.
Everybody was concerned because I was like prime patient because I was there every day. It wasn't like a mom that was coming in. I was there.
We know this hospital. 30 years ago, we were camped out there for a month. We've been in there through two kids. One of the top hospitals in the area.
Right.
Not anymore. Okay. No more. Where to begin? Okay. Cat gets operated on a Wednesday. I'm thinking we're going home on a Thursday. Okay. It's my girl's ankle. Okay. There was no major organs involved. Hell, women give birth to kids now, have a baby, and they throw them out the next day. I mean, there's brain surgery on outpatient shit, and we got a broken leg, and we're stuck in this thing forever. So now we've been in this joker 24 hours, and they're coming at us for money, okay? Am I wrong, Kat?
There was. Okay, I will give you the lay of the land. I've been waiting all day for occupational and physical therapy to show up. They both show up at the same time to just basically try and get me out of the bed, which was a good thing for them to do, to try and move me, to get me somewhat ambulatory with a walker or something, because they didn't really want me staying in the bed. So they're both working for me. During this time, housekeeping comes in, and all they did was change a garbage bag.
Housekeeping.
Right. And then after that, the financial lady's coming in, looking to see, tell us how much we already owe.
This is the next day, 24 hours later. Okay.
It hadn't even been 24 hours since the operation.
You're right. Kat's right on both accounts. The occupational therapist and the physical therapist were the only two people that came in that room that were worth 5 cents. Am I wrong? They got my girl up.
Now, the day nurse was great. The night nurse was
right.
Not the best.
I'm not going to dog the nurses because they're busy.
Right.
Okay? They're running up and down the hall. I saw that. I did get into it with a nurse or two, but we got over it. But my thing is, the next day, like Kat said, the room is full of people. They're getting her up. We're going to comb her hair. We're going to brush her teeth. We're going to wash her face off. All the stuff that none of the nurses did. None of that shit.
Yeah.
And then housekeeping comes in. So there's like five people in the room. And then this little young lady, not being able to read the room, she comes up and hands me this piece of paper that states that Bon Secours has already billed the insurance company for $6,000. You owe $2,400. This is 18 hours after we got cut on. They're in here asking for money.
They're looking for a debit card. And oh, and we would get a discount. Remember that part?
Check it out. Told me if we paid today, 9% discount. Okay. And I'm just sitting there. I could not believe this was going on. And so when she asked for $2,400, I reached in my pocket. I was like, you know what? I ain't got that on me. I got it in a bag, paper bag downstairs.
And they're not letting me have a debit card at that point, so.
I don't know. Again, my girl's laid up in a hospital with a major ankle problem. And not life-threatening, but, you know, it's something, you know, that needs to be addressed. And in this place, all they give a damn about is getting in your wallet. I mean, I smelled this from the time we entered the door. This hospital, again, it had a good rep, at least with us. After this visit, hell no. They also, as Kat mentioned, had a good rep for its food. Now, I went down to the cafeteria area twice because I didn't have shit to do, sit around for hours, and it's all about Steve. And so I go down there. It was so disgusting I said, fuck it, I'll just starve to death. And back in the day, they used to have vending machines all down the, like, if you were really jonesing, you could get, like, some cheese nips, moon pie, and a grape soda. All that's gone. They're forcing you to go in there. Back in the day, this hospital had Chick-fil-A Sandos. They did. And they had bologna burgers. And who knows bologna burgers better than I?
You were the king of the bologna burger.
All of that's gone. It's two dudes on a flat top putting grease on a bun and a little carton of four French fries. And you go over there. There's no prices on anything. You take your tray, and the little lady there at the carousel, she goes, that'll be $17.48. I'm like, I didn't get anything. I got a chicken sando. I mean, seriously. And again, it's all... I'm not ripping on big business. I know it sounds like I'm against big business. But these people have come in here and changed the whole scene. Me and Kat saw it 30 years ago. We've been lucky. We're two old guys on the back porch. We've been kind of healthy. Kat had a little spill. We go back to the hospital game, and man, things have changed for the worst. I mean, Kat was trying to eat the food that they brought to her. They brought her breakfast that was sausage and French toast, which is two things Kat loves. The sausage was, it was a color brown that I've never seen. Almost like, looked like brown, like a crayon. The only thing she ate in there was what, fruit cups?
I basically ate fruit and vegetables, which I knew I needed because I needed to heal. And maybe the roll was good. There was a good roll I had one time.
I don't know.
That was about it.
I've never been to prison. There's a chance I could go, but it was prison food under that plastic hood. I mean, the smell of it, wasn't it, Kat? It just the smell.
It just, I mean,
was bad enough.
I basically lived there for a month 30 years ago, and I had to, because they were watching me to make sure I was eating.
And I brought you stuff too back then.
You brought me stuff too.
But you could eat the food. I mean, they bring a chicken breast and rice, you could eat it.
Right.
They brought you that the 2 weeks ago, and you were like, hell no. I mean, Kat's room, only there, what is it, Wednesday night, Thursday night.
Right.
Two nights, the room is a pigsty. Of course, I'm a neat freak, so I'm going to bitch about it. But, you know, come on. There was like sheets and towels and shit all balled up in the corner. The food trays, what, from breakfast, lunch, that shit's all sitting there. I mean, come on, man. Somebody fucking clean up, do something. So Friday comes, Kat calls me up. Like, it was like 10:45 on Friday. She says I'm being discharged or released. You know, it does feel like you're being let out of prison. So I get over there. We don't leave until 3, right?
Right.
4 freaking hours of sitting there waiting for, usually you're waiting for the doctor to sign some paper where you can leave. But this, it's changed now. You have to pass the rules of the occupational therapist and the physical therapist.
Right.
Which they brought a walker, they brought a scooter, they brought a wheelchair. Kat did all the little song and dance things, except for the physical therapist took us in this room where it was like a flight of steps that went up. What was it like? That thing was like 5 foot tall.
Those steps, there's no way. I knew. I sat back down in that chair and said, there is no bleeping way, because I'm still on pain medication. I really haven't eaten. I really didn't sleep while I was there.
You didn't look well.
I didn't look
well. Almost blew it.
I almost got myself there for another night.
Yeah, and I looked at that lady like, we're leaving today, hell or high water. So the lady, the physical therapist that took us in this room, she's like grabbing the rail and putting 1 foot down. And she didn't weigh, what, 87 pounds?
Right, right.
She couldn't do it. So my girl's sitting here with her ankle busted. And we're like, we're not doing this. Not happening. And she goes, well, I don't know if you're going home today or not. I said, look, we have a ramp. Remember that, Kat?
Right.
I said ramp. Her eyes lit up. Well, why didn't you tell me that? I said, we got 3 steps in front of this house. I'll get her in the house. So we go back.
I would have crawled on hands and knees at this point.
They told us we were leaving at 11. It's going on 2 or 3 o'clock. Lady Gaga is on the television. The Olympic opening ceremonies. We're like, what in the hell is she doing up there? That was a debacle. Cat's hollering for a pain pill. The nurse won't come. What I noticed was when they found out we were leaving, not one soul came in that room and did shit. Nothing. Kat, you hit that button for that oxy. My girl liked that oxy. And no, how long did you wait for that?
I waited. It was brutal. 45 minutes because I did it. I knew when the pill was ending. So I knew to start calling 30 minutes before.
So on top of the PA selling us on the surgery, and then the little girl telling us we owed $2,400 before we left, in comes the, I think she called herself the CM. I'm your case manager, Whitney. Would you like one of those portable toilet things to take home? And we're like, we told you the door is 3 foot wide. Scooter's going in. My girl can hit the toilet. We're good. We don't need that. Well, what about one of those grabber things where you grab stuff? And I said, what do we need that for? Well, you know, it'll help you pull up your clothes and stuff. And I'm like, well, I'm pretty good at getting her clothes off of her. I'm sure I can put them back on her. And then she was like, well, you need a walker. We're like, all right, we'll take the walker, right, Kat?
Right.
She goes, okay, I'll go order it. So she leaves. So we sit there, we sit there, we sit there. I'm like, where is this walker at? Okay. So the nurse comes in. I go, how long we got to wait for the walker? She goes, well, we don't have 100 of them sitting in a closet downstairs. As soon as I heard her smart-ass mouth, I went downstairs, went to the car, got on the phone, called the pharmacy across the street. I said, do y'all have a walker? Let me check. We got one, but it's got a seat on it. Why don't you go to Westbury Pharmacy? They got them. I said, bingo. So I'm getting ready to leave and go buy a walker, come back, and so we can get the hell out of here. But I don't. I go back upstairs. I go over to the occupational therapist. Because in these hospitals, on each floor, you got this little circle where there's like, what, 8 little girls sitting there, clicking a mouse, staring at a screen, doing absolutely nothing. So I walk over there, and they ignore you. When you walk up there and sit in front of them, they stand in front of them, they're just like, nothing. They don't even acknowledge you're there. So I go around to the occupational therapist, who was the only cool chick that came in there. I said, look, I'm not trying to be an asshole. And the nurse was standing right behind her, like 10 feet. I go, we've been waiting for this freaking walker for 3 hours. I said, there's one in the room. I'll give you $138 cash on the barrel. We'll get the walker, put her in the wheelchair, and get the hell out of here. And she goes, well, I'll look into it. So as I walked down the hall, I heard the nurse spin around and go, don't worry about it. I got it coming. I go back to the room. I look at my girl. I go, Kat, I said, I can get you in that wheelchair that's sitting right in that hallway, pull you out to where the rescue squad comes in and out, go get the car. We're out of here. This ain't no prison. We can get out of here. It feels like a prison. My girl looked at me and said, get me out of here. So I leave because I'm getting ready to get in trouble. Blood pressure's up. I've had enough. I go down to the restaurant that I ate at the day before. Sit down, no lie. Order the same blackened chicken wrap again.
I still really haven't eaten anything.
As soon as I order it, Kat texts me and says, volunteers on the way. I'm out of here. I throw a 25 on the table. I couldn't find a little waitress. I was like, just left the money and walked out and had to walk 4 blocks uphill in the fucking 90-degree humidity, get to the car, go to pick my girl up, and get the hell out of there. But I'm telling you, something's changed. Am I wrong? Tell me I'm wrong.
It's a different place. I mean, I thought my physicians and all the people were great. A night nurse I really couldn't deal with. Everybody else, I thought the staff was great. It's just some of the stuff, it just didn't land right.
They talked about this doctor like I said, I call him Elvis. I thought the king was coming through the door. That's how they hyped this dude up. Now, looking at the x-ray, when we went to the visit the other day, it does look like money. My girl's got a plate and 5 screws.
Right.
Wow. So it's going to be a little while. We're going to get through it. But these hospitals, you know, you young bucks out there, you ain't got to worry about it. But we're getting up there in age where things start going sideways. And what I saw in there, it wasn't good. It seems like it's more about making money than it is taking care of each other. It's sad, but it's true. It's happening. All right, let's roll right into One Tough Son of a Bitch. I'm going to have trouble saying this dude's name, but I think it's John Muir.
Right.
Born in 1838 from Dunbar, Scotland. This guy's story is off the charts. John Muir, he was a farmer, an inventor, naturalist, philosopher, writer, botanist, zoologist, genealogist, environmentalist. All of that in one lifetime, John Muir did. Born in Scotland, but dad put the family on a boat and ended up in Portage, Wisconsin.
Wisconsin.
How about that shit?
Got some good cheese there.
Woo! John went to college. My man was over in Scotland, ended up in college over here for a couple of years. And then he followed his brother to Canada. And there he explored the woods, swamps, all along what now is known as the Bruce Trail. In 1967, John Muir walked close to 1,000 miles from Kentucky to Florida. And he didn't walk down the road. He walked through the wildest, leafiest, least trodden way he could find. And once he hit Florida, jumped on a boat for Cuba. I'm telling you, this dude's off the rails. In Cuba, he studied shells, flowers, visited their botanical gardens, and then he finally sat his ass down in San Francisco, of all places. But he didn't know how to sit down, so he went to Yosemite, and he scrambled up and down the steepest cliffs, checking out the waterfalls, plant life. Between 1879 and 1899, John Muir became fascinated with Alaska. He made 7 trips there. He's one of the first Euro-Americans to explore the Glacier Bay. In 1902, President Theodore Roosevelt took a little hike with John Muir through Yosemite and convinced the president that the best way to protect the valley was through federal control and management. John Muir, through his books, letters, essays, helped preserve the Yosemite Valley, the Sequoia
right.
National Park. I mean, this dude lived it. He breathed it. And John Muir, he wanted to make sure we didn't destroy the natural.
Did he ever have a broken ankle from walking around the woods?
Probably. He did not want to destroy the natural beauty of the country. And California, they celebrate John Muir Day each year on April 21st. John Muir, he started the Sierra Club.
Cool.
That to this day has chapters all over the United States. I mean, we don't have time to name all the places named after him. There's so many. There's Mount Muir in Sierra Nevada.
He made a twist on an alarm clock device that pushed him out of bed early in the morning.
My man got up early and hit the woods. I can relate, brother. And that makes John Muir one tough son of a bitch. Are we still watching stuff?
We're still watching. And this one, I'd watched the first season. Now I'm going to tell you about the second season. I still apparently have a Stars account.
No.
Stars. There's only 2 things to me to watch on Stars. is costume dramas, which is the thing I love to watch, and blackish exploitation shows. I will call them, that's what I'd call them.
Okay.
Anyway, the one I've been watching is The Serpent Queen. It's about the 16th century Queen of France, Catherine de Medici. If you know anything about the de Medicis, they pretty much were the bankers of Renaissance Europe. They're the ones who had the cash. They had close relations with the Pope there in France. Anyway, Samantha Morton does an excellent job portraying Catherine de Medici. The first season was pretty much Catherine being raised from a penniless orphan in a convent to the Queen of France. You know, and she's kind of like not, she has issues with her marriage because she's got the being married to the son of the King of France. She's kind of passed on, I guess is the way to put it, because he's got a mistress who pretty much taken care of all of his needs.
Hello.
And, you know, they're trying to have kids and finally things work out and they start having children. Well, the second season is pretty much her husband's already died and her children are becoming kings of France. She was actually the mother of three kings of France.
Wow.
And another issue that's going on as this is going is the conflict, religious conflict between the Catholic Church and the Protestants. And you think when you hear that, you're thinking what? King Henry VIII and Queen Mary and Queen Elizabeth. And in this second season, it's really good because you don't really hear. I like costume dramas where I'm learning something about a historical figure I don't really know that much about. And I've been learning a lot about Catherine de Medici. And they did this whole fictional thing of where Queen Elizabeth and Catherine meet in France, which never happened. But it's kind of cool to watch. And the person who's playing Queen Elizabeth is Minnie Driver and is doing a great job.
Minnie got a gig.
Minnie got a gig.
Is she 60 anyway, now?
If you want to learn any more about French history and Catherine de Medici, I recommend this series. It's pretty
called...
good. The Serpent Queen. And she was called the Serpent Queen because she was always kind of calculating. Mm-hmm. She wasn't that emotional. She was really smart. She was a clever woman. And it's a very good...
She looked ahead.
She looked ahead.
What's going to happen down
she like, road. You know, we can be bigger than these two warring religious factions.
Right.
Anyway, I would recommend it. It's
changed
a good watch.
History in France.
You know. Anyway, The Serpent Queen's a great watch.
All right, let's do a great shot. What do we have this week?
We have the peanut butter and jelly shot.
Well, that pretty much sums it up. What's in it? I'm scared to ask.
It is Screwball Whiskey and Chambord Liqueur.
Screwball Whiskey. Hate it.
Hate it. Okay.
Don't put peanut butter and whiskey
together.
Well, see,
that's something I've been able to fix myself lately, okay. Miss Independent here.
Let's do it.
So let's try it out.
It looks like jelly.
Hmm. That's different.
It does taste like a peanut butter.
It does taste like a peanut butter and jelly, though.
That's weird. Little aftertaste.
Yeah. Definitely getting the Chambord
right
at the end.
It's only two ingredients?
Yeah, equal parts.
Wow. And it's called?
The Peanut Butter and Jelly Shot.
All right. Give it a try, but only once. All right. This week, Band of the Week, we were bumpered in with a band called the Red Clay Strays. Formed in 2016 from Mobile, Alabama.
Alabama.
Brandon Coleman on vocals, Andrew Bishop on bass, Drew Nix on guitar, Zach Rischel on guitar, and Baby John Hall on drums. The Red Clay Strays, they did it right. Playing gig after gig, build up a local following, and then guess what? The Red Clay Strays blew up on TikTok.
Chicky tacky.
With the song we were bumpered in with today called Wondering Why. These dudes, I call it old school cool. I'm all in on these dudes. Brandon Coleman, very good singer. He can bring it. The ladies think he can bring it. Just released their second album.
He looks kind of on the handsome side. I'm giving Chris Isaac looks from him, just in this little
and
picture
his voice
here.
Is so good.
His voice is
I
very
mean,
good.
Dude is very slick. The album came out in July, second album, Made by These Moments. And it's an album, you can just put it on and let it play. It's nothing but up for these guys.
If you want to hear them for them for yourself, they will be at September 8th at the Silver Spring, Maryland, the Fillmore Silver Spring.
That's easy to say. They're going to be in Maryland.
They'll be in Maryland.
That's not that far away. We could go. Oh, no, we can't. Scooter!
Scooter alert.
I like to see the Red Clay Strays, Charlie Crockett, and Whiskey Myers on tour. That would be the bomb. Maybe I could hook that up. Check out the Red Clay Strays wherever you get your music. And thank everybody for hanging out on the back porch. We'll see y'all down the road.
See ya.
She keeps on loving me, and I keep on wondering why. She's got a wicked smile, angel eyes, every guy wanting to hold her close. She's as pretty as sin, like the sun sinking.